Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff Prism.
T-1000. I'm high. My head can touch the sky. Watch me take off like a jet. Spread my wings and I can fly. I'm really from the East End. Nigga, I was born and raised. Ran the 8th yard. Selling work out the breezeway. Back in 98, I was copping from niggas in Central State. This is like back when they had that talk show. Ricky Lake, I meant to get it done. Had my first whip at 15. Pontiac Cavalier. And I kept that bitch clean. Everything original. My showcase got a big screen. Fuck what them haters be talking about. They ain't shit to me. You never gotta hear my shit, but know that I'm a veteran. Up late night, hustling. David Letterman. I'm sharper than your average night. Your head, I fucking severed it. I'm still the fucking hottest, and I do that shit like Applebee's. Nothing niggas who with you. Ladies ain't ones that'll forget you. Lame ass, lying fake. Soon about to get your issues. Talk about getting your pistols.
Hey, I'm a little late in the building, cause Beast 2 is running a little late. Hey, what's good, party people in the place to be? It's your man, the B to the I, the G, the S-T-E-W, up in the building, bring trouble to you. I was thinking about rhyming today, cause my man Mo Money was like, yo, Stu, you should be rhyming, man. You should do a rhyme. Nah, picture me doing a rhyme. At this time and day. Once again, it's Beef Stew Radio, man. Today's a beautiful, 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 beautiful day. And we in the building. Today, we're going to talk about today, 66 years ago, the homie, the legend, one of the strongest men to ever live and experience everything, my man Jackie Robinson, was the first black African American to play baseball. 66 years ago today, yes, April 15th, he was the first African-American signed to Major Leagues. He played with the famous Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, we're going to deal with a little bit about Jackie Robinson today. We're going to talk about the times and how it went. And for those of y'all, most of y'all know his new movie just came out, and it was actually official killer. It was a hit. It did super big in the box office. I think it did $20 million its first day. And, yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Robinson and some of the things that was going on. You know, the first thing, you know, his name was Jackie Robinson. He was born. He was born January 31st, 19. He was born January 31st, 1919. And he actually died October 24th, 1972. He went to the John Muir High School, and he went to Pasadena Junior College of the University of California, Los Angeles. He went to Pasadena Junior College, and he went to UCLA later on that year. His place of birth was Cario, Georgia, and his place of death at the time was Stamford, Connecticut. Originally, his name was Jack Roosevelt Washington. Right? Early in, you know, he was born, like I said, 1919 in Georgia, Cario, Georgia. And, you know, he was born in Cario, Georgia. So, I'm going to just kick some things that, you know, how he went through. And we're going to get back and talking to Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to play in the major league. The youngest of five children, was raised in relatively poverty, but and he was raised by a single mother. He attended, once I said, the John Muir High School in Pasadena, and he went to Pasadena Junior College, where he was an excellent athlete. He played four sports, football, basketball, track, and baseball. He was named the region's most valuable player in baseball in 1938. Robinson's older brother, Matthew Robinson, inspired Jackie to pursue his talents and love for athletics. Matthew won a silver medal in the 200-meter dash just behind Jesse Owens at the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin, his older brother. So a lot of people, you didn't know that. He came from a deep family. Jackie Robinson continued his education at the University of California, Los Angeles, which we know as UCLA, where he became the university's first student to win varsity, the first student to win varsity letters in four sports. In 1941, despite his athletic success, Jackie was forced to leave UCLA just shy of graduation due to financial hardship. He moved to Honolulu, Hawaii, where he played football for a semi-professional Honolulu Bears. All right, for Honolulu. And his season with the Bears was cut off short when the United States entered into World War II. From 1942 to 1944, Jackie Robinson served as second lieutenant in the United States Army. He never saw combat. However, Robinson was arrested and court-martialed during boot camp after he refused to move back to the back of the segregated bus during training. He was later acquitted of all charges and received an honorable discharge. His courage and moral objection to segregation moral objection to segregation were persecutors to the impact of Robinson would have a Major League Baseball would be have the impact that he would make in Major League Baseball, and he also broke the color barrier. After his discharge from the Army in 1944, he began to play baseball professionally, and at the time the sport was segregated, and African Americans and whites played in separate leagues. Robinson began playing in the Negro Leagues, but he was soon chosen by Branch Rickey, president of the Brooklyn Dodgers, to help integrate Major League Baseball. He joined the all-white Montreal Royals, a farm team for the Brooklyn Dodgers. In 1946, he later moved to Florida and began his spring training with the Royals, and played his first game in Ebbets Field on for the Brooklyn Dodgers April 15th, which is today, 1947. That's why we're talking about it. Rickey knew that that times was going to be difficult ahead for the young athlete, and made Robinson promise never to fight back when confronted with racism. From the beginning of his career with the Dodgers, Robinson was tested even by some of his new teammates objecting on having an African American on their own team. So, the Plixic stuff really great, man. The young actor is really, really great. We're going to talk about him a little later in the show. But, you know, people in the crowd sometimes jeered that Robinson and his family received threats, you know what I'm saying? And despite the racial abuse, particularly at away games, Robinson had an outstanding start with the Royals, leading the international lead with .39 batting average and .389 batting average and a .985 fielding percentage. His excellent year led to his promotion to the Dodgers. His debut game on April 15th marked the first time an African American athlete has ever played in any major league sport at that time, Major League Baseball. Most notably by the Philadelphia Phillies and their manager Jim Chapman during the most infamous game. Chapman and his team shouted the Togaray terms at Robinson from their dugout. Many of the players on the opposing teams threatened not to play against Dodgers, even his own teammates threatened to sit out. But Dodgers manager Leo Duger informed them that they would be sooner trade them than Robinson. His loyalty to the players set the tone for the rest of Robinson's career with the team. A baseball hero? Others defended Jackie Robinson's right to play in the major leagues, including the league's president, Ford Frick, the baseball commissioner, Happy Chandler, a Jewish baseball star, and Hank Greenberg, and Dodgers shortstop and team captain Pee Wee Reese. In one incident, while fans harshed Robinson from the stands, Reese walked over and put his arm around his teammate and gestured that became legendary in baseball. And for those of you that don't know, Pee Wee Reese is very popular in baseball. And when he put his arm around Jackie Robinson that day, that was a good thing. And we gotta give a shout out to Chadwick Boseman, who played Jackie Robinson in the movie. He played a good role. He looks a lot like the you know, they had him look a lot like Jackie Robinson, which was crazy because Jackie Robinson was sporting a fade. That's something that we sport now. He sports a fade, and that's crazy. Jackie Robinson sees the seed to and putting prejudice and the racial strife aside. He showed everyone what a talented player he was. And the first year, he had 12 home runs and helped the Dodgers win a National League pennant. That year, Robinson led the National League in stolen bases, you know what I'm saying, and was selected Rookie of the Year. He continued to wow fans and critics with impressive feats, such as an outstanding .342 batting average during the 1949 season. He led stolen bases that year, earned National League's Most Valuable Player Award that year. Robinson soon became a hero of the sport, even among former critics, and was the subject to a popular song. Did you see, it was a popular song, did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Exceptional base runner, Robinson stole home 19 times in his career, setting a league record with that. He also became the highest paid athlete in Dodgers history. For you people that don't know that, his success in the major league opened doors for other African Americans such as Satchel Paige, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. All of them came behind him right after that. Robinson also became a vocal champion for African American athletes, civil rights, and social and political causes. In July 1949, he testified on a discrimination before the House of U, for the House of, you know, UN American Activities Committees. In 1952, he publicly called out the Yankees as a racist organization for not having broken the color barrier 5 years after he began playing for the Dodgers. In his decade-long career, with the Dodgers, Robinson and his team won National League pennants several times. Finally, in 1955, he helped them achieve the ultimate victory, and they won the World Series after that. After failing before and four other matchups, the Dodgers beat the New York Yankees, the team that, you know, at the time wasn't, and that's surprising because I'm from New York and I'm a Yankee fan, but Yankees are one of the later teams that had to be kind of, their arms had to be kind of forced. All right? Now, he helped the team win one more and a national team pennant following season, and then he was traded to the New York Giants. Jackie Robinson retired shortly after that trade in January 1957 with an impressive career batting average of .311. He's batting at .311. Now, after baseball, Robinson became active in business, continued his work as an activist for social change. He worked as an executive for Chuck Full of Nuts Coffee Company and restaurant chain, and helped establish the Freedom National Bank. He served on the board of the NAACP until 1967, was the first African American to be inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962. And in 1972, the Dodgers retired his uniform to number 42, which is what the movie's about. In his later years, Robinson continued to lobby greater integrated sports. He died from heart problems and diabetes complications on August in Stamford, Connecticut. He was survived by his wife, Rachel Isom, and their three children. After his death, his wife established the Jackie Robinson Foundation, dedicating his life and work to the foundation. The foundation helps kids with the mental program. So, yeah, y'all, this is the story of a great man. This is the story of somebody that was very strong, that he stood back when you look at his story, just so everybody can come in. He promised not to fight. That's something that a lot of us cannot do. The promise to say, okay, you call me all type of names, you can say everything to me, you could do everything you want to me, but I'm not going to fight. The deep part about this story about Jackie Robinson is that he did something similar to what Jesus did. He put his life and soul on a whole on, you know, he put his life and soul online for people. And that is the crazy part about it. When you look at everything and you base everything on it, the crazy part about it, he put his life and soul on that. And that's a deep thing, man. You know, for a lot of us and blacks and Americans, we take advantage of that. And we don't realize what Jackie Robinson did for us. So, you know, that's why Beef Do Radio, we wanted to come and give the shout-out. But now, I'm going to tell you something. When he first started playing baseball, there was a lot of things being done at that time. Now we get back to the music. The music was another man that he was breaking barriers to. Mm-hmm. At the same time, same month, it's a few. I'm going to kick them to you. One man was a great man. His name was Muddy Waters. That same time, that same year, when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, Muddy Waters was one of the black people getting played on major radio at the time. As for Rhythm and Blues, you know, blues stations. He had broke through with a song called Gypsy Woman. I'll play it for you right now, just to give y'all a little history. Give you a little history on Jackie Robinson. I'm going to give you a little history on Muddy Waters, Beef Stew Radio, it's your man DJ Big Stew. I told you I'm a connoisseur of music. I'll be true to what I say. Hip hop and don't stop.
That you, your mother's bad love child. You know the gypsy woman told me that you, your mother's bad love child. Well, you're having a good time now, but that I made trouble after a while. Now, you know, I went to a gypsy woman to have my fortune told. So you better go back home, son, and peek through your keyhole. You know the gypsy woman told me that you your mother's bad luck child. Well, you're having a good time now, but that I've been troubled after a while.
Jodeci and all the ones who came past, you know. There was another man that had it going down too. He was real deep with his stuff, man. Everybody, this is all was at the same time. It was a man named Thelonious Monk. Yeah. Some of you old timers out there, like, wow, this young boy, yeah, I know my stuff, pops. I know my stuff. You know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. I'm in this to win this. With Thelonious Monk, he made a lot of stuff too, man. He made a lot of little songs, and the thing about it is, like, we took these hip hop songs, we sampled these joints, we did a lot of things. You know what I mean? And a lot of guys don't like to admit, oh, yo, I sampled. Yeah, you sampled. Just like I sample, you know, but Thelonious Monk was like one of the famous dudes, you know, like, I don't know how to describe it, but there was dudes that they just had things that was like so deep, some music that was like so deep that we couldn't understand it, and, you know, we tried to do it in the hip-hop community. We try to bring it back, you know, but I don't know. Something about our generation can't do it. But one thing I want to give another shout-out to before we continue on, I meant to say this a little earlier. Shout-out to everybody out there at the Boston Marathon. That was something real deep, you know what I mean? The Boston Marathon, you know, it was bombed. Two bombs went off today. And I'm just, you know, hopeful for, you know, it didn't look too good. I know some people looked like they was really hurt, but we hoping that, you know, nobody, we hoping that people, you know, we giving our prayers to everybody that was there. You know what I mean? So if you didn't know, if you didn't see it, there was two bombs at the Boston Marathon, and it didn't look too good. But the evacuation team was on the point. They was on point. They was definitely there. Now, I have something else I think I want to play that was out there back then, too. There was a lot of things that was out back then. I think Muddy Waters had another song out there back then. You know what I mean? I'm going to get into it with y'all because I want y'all to know, man, like, Jackie Robinson, Muddy Waters, these dudes was busting their hump. For us, you know, Muddy Waters was at that same time when Jackie Robinson was breaking the color barrier. Muddy Waters was playing music in some of the most rowdiest clubs, man. So just know, like, 1947 was a big year for the black race because not only did we first get in baseball, but the music, we first really started getting some real big hits. And, you know, even though Chess Records was one of the people that jerked Muddy Waters in the beginning. He ended up getting his back later on. But his name definitely broke records as for being on the charts as a black man. It made people like Chuck Berry, you know what I'm saying, want to say, hey, I want to come over there to Chess, you know, Chess Records and see what they're doing over there because of Muddy Waters opened the door. He was the one who paid the less. You know, that's the messed up part about it. He was the one who opened the door and was paid the least. But that's usually what happened. The people that paid the way, they do it because of the love of it. And they don't never really get they don't never be the ones that get the payback. And that's so sad sometimes. But he ended up getting his later on, like we seen in the movie. But, we're going to get into this song, man. This one was definitely out there. This was one of the songs that the black people definitely liked to play when Jackie Robinson was on the field at that time. You know what I mean? At that time, this was like a big song because it was like we got our mojo back. So this is big. 1947, April, got my mojo back. Jackie Robinson on the baseball field. You listening to the radio and all of ghettos around the country at that time, that day. Everybody was sitting around listening to the radio. And after Jackie Robinson got that hit, I think he stole a base. He got a single. I think he hit a base hit, and he stole a base. And stole a second. I think he scored a run in that day, which was a great start for black America. So this song definitely radio stations with very, very much pride back then after Jackie Robinson did his thing. Muddy Waters, y'all. Sitting here, toasting up the kush, sipping on my Yizak, telling y'all history about what happened today. 66 years ago. 66 years ago, the street at this time was popping. Everybody was running through the street proud. Black pride was all in the street. Because Jackie Robinson made his comeback, got his mojo back. He was the first African American to go where that Brooklyn Dodgers. And the Brooklyn Dodgers was one hell of a team. The legendary Brooklyn Dodgers. Before they were the Yankees, y'all, in New York. Let's understand that. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Yankees, the house, the Babe Ruth built. But, you know, truth of the matter is, and I don't want to bust nobody bubbles, but there's a lot of records out there that a lot of Babe Ruth records and things that he had was broken by a lot of men in the Negro Leagues that's been not counted upon. All right, let's keep it real. I was watching something about a picture that was from Cuba, you know. Tion, him and his dad, one of the baddest pitchers in the game. His father and son. Yeah. And broke a lot of records for Cuba. Did things for Cuba. Everybody, people, you know, it's the crazy part is that everybody, people have something that makes us all proud. It's just there. It's really just there. We all have something that makes us proud. Cuban people can go to Tion and Lefty Tion. Tion, I think that was the father and the son was, I forget. But I know it was a great story. Great story about Cuban baseball, which we all know if we didn't have problems with Castro and stuff like that. Cuban baseball, you know, the baseball is dominated by the Hispanics. Just keep it real. Dominican boys got it locked down right now. But if the situation would have been better with Castro in America, baseball would have been Cuban. And most people know that. Most people know baseball would have been a Cuban sport. Some of the greatest baseball players was of the Cuban descent. And all because of Jackie Robinson. Because some players, if they was Cuban and they was light-skinned, they couldn't get no run on their throat. Because they was Cuban and light-skinned. They had a light-skinned rule. You could play in the major leagues and be Cuban, but you had to look like Ricky Ricardo. Remember, Ricky Ricardo was Cuban. But I'm going to get into some Thelonious, man. I don't know if I should play them, because Thelonious joints is deep. I'm going to get into some hip-hop, but I just want to give y'all some. I don't know how to call it for the youngins, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say for the little young, bros. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely trying to dig through my crates right now and find some Thelonious Monk for y'all, man. Make y'all understand that this was all happening. This was the music that was going down when Jackie Robinson was breaking the color barrier. This was going down. It wasn't Jay-Z. It wasn't the little homies down the block who had a demo. It wasn't Nelly. It was people like Muddy Waters. Yep. And I'm still mind boggled on all the stuff when I really got deep into Jackie Robinson and all the stuff that he had to take. I mean, he was also court-martialed, too. I don't know if you guys knew that, you know? He was court-martialed. He did time in the Army. Yep. Yes, he did. We're going to play a song called Spanish Harlem. Today we're playing great music. Some of the patients treated in Massachusetts General, injuries to lower limbs that would require serial operations in coming days, trauma surgeon Peter said. And Washington President Barack vowed any responsible individuals and any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice. And we know what that means. Obama will catch you and bomb you, and you will go on to pay. Boston is a tough and resilient town, he's added, and Americans will stand by the Boston every single step. Like a huge can of terrorist attack, you know, the marathon finish line triggered the widespread of screaming and chaos, shattered windows and barricades, and sent smoke billowing into the air. You know, it was at Copley Square. The blasts were about 50 to 100 yards apart. Officials said on a stretch, the marathon course line, spectators cheering runners through the final yards of the 26 mile 385 yard endurance feat. And this one lady said, it felt like a huge cannon. You know what I'm saying? She had told somebody from CNN. Alan Partner, a doctor who was near the finish line waiting for his wife to finish the race, told CNN he was standing about 20 to 25 feet from the blast. He said he treated victims in the street after the explosion. I saw at least 6 people down next to me. They protected me from the blast. One lady aspires. One gentleman lost both of his lower limbs. She said one man lost both of his lower limbs in the injuries. It's crazy. Bill Lipson, 78, a veteran marathoner, was nearing the finish when the shockwaves just hit my whole body and my legs just started jittering. That's what he said. He said, who can be seeing, and he's the one you can see in the video when he's wearing the orange tank top being helped to his feet because he had just fell. As soon as the blast came off, he fell. Federal authorities are classifying the bomb as a terrorist attack, but it's not clear whether the origins are domestic or foreign. And federal lawsuit acknowledgement of the investigation. A federal enforcement told CNN both bombs were small, and an issue test showed that C4 and other high-grade explosive materials, suggesting that packages used, you know, those are packages used in certain type of bombings. I'm actually detoxing today, y'all. Drinking this nasty detox juice. Oh, it's so nasty. But, you know, you gotta live healthy, man. Trying to live healthy. It's supposed to fill you up. It's supposed to be just like eating something. I can tell you it's not. Okay, back to the story. We're gonna get, you know, basically, Obama's going to cut some ass. Let me catch these guys. We're going to catch them. That's one thing about America. We'll catch you. We've been catching everybody. Somebody. We're going to catch a couple of you. All of y'all ain't getting away. If one of you, two of you, but somebody going to, we're going to bomb somebody. Yep. Let's do it. Now, Tierra Mari and Corey Hardick revives their vows after 5 years of matrimony and 13 years of being together. That's crazy. Now, they're going to say this. This is something that they discuss in the paper now. This is deep. They got the 15 gayest cities in America. 2013 have been pulled out the closet. Does your city top the list? 15 of the gayest cities in America. It's called How You Doing. That's what it says. We want to know, and let's say they're going to tell you, are you shocked that Los Angeles and New York didn't make this list in the 4th annual? I'm glad New York and Los Angeles, well, New York didn't make the list. I don't care about Los Angeles. And I'm actually shocked that Los Angeles didn't make the list. But we know Atlanta did. I don't mean to say it. Well, St. Louis, Missouri is one of the gayest places that you can be right now. So gay people, I'm telling you where you can go meet you a guy at and get a date. Gay women, bisexual people. If you're tired of New York, you feel it ain't right, go to St. Louis, Missouri. They giving out tickets over there. Another place is, let's see what the other place is. No, couldn't be. Couldn't be. Just couldn't be. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. This has to be. No. Salem, Oregon. Oregon, Salem. They say in Salem, Oregon, one of the places that used to be real racist, is one of the gayest places you can go right now. So let's go to the next joint. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to do all of them right now. We're going to do about five each segment. You know, some of these places you will not believe. Colorado Springs, the Rocky Bear Mountains, with Rhinestone Cowboys and all them over there. You know, they all broke back mountain stuff over there in the snow. The Rocky Mountain got a little John Denver in them. Peter and Paul. It's all good. All good in the hood. Another one of the gayest cities, they say, is Providence, Rhode Island. I've been to Rhode Island one time. It's a really boring car. It's a really boring city. It's very nice looking. Roman looking, like Roman stuff. Oakland, California. Sorry, too short. Your spot is the gayest part of the town. Too short, I don't think he would like that. Too short, some other Oakland guys, because there's some tough dudes coming out of Oakland. But it doesn't matter. It's not, nowadays it don't matter, because, I mean, look at your dude with the abs. He bigger than most dudes, man. You mess around and be scared to fight him. The hip-hop ab guy? What's his name? I don't know his name, but Shanti. You know, you see him, you look like straight out of Oz. You be like, oh, shit, you know, who this is, light skin and the Bee Gees? Then he start talking. And you're like, wow. So, it don't matter. I seen a gay dude whip the toughest thug ass in Harlem. I'm going to tell you this story before we get into this. And everybody in Harlem might be like, oh, he's going to tell this story because everybody know this story. It was once a hard rock dude that thought he was the hardest cat in the hood. He could beat everybody. You know, he's running around punching, beating up everybody. He ran into one of the gayest guys in the neighborhood. But the gay guy was actually a big dude, man. He was a really big dude, and you shouldn't have bothered him. He was, you know, women liked him. Women, but, you know, other than him wearing a cat suit every day and spandex cat suit every day, you know, like a cat, you know, like a cat outfit, like he thought he was Catwoman. Other than him wearing that every day, he was like built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And this dude was bothering him. We laughing, you know, we the straight guys, we laughing until he knocked the shit out of the other dude and we all stopped laughing. I never, ever, 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 ever laughed. He turned around, what y'all laughing at? We all shutting up. We were little ahead of him, mind you, but there's a whole crew of us, about 65 little kids that was out in that park that's grown men now, know that after he shook one of the thuggest dudes up in the project, ain't none of us had nothing to say. You know, he picked the guy up, told him sorry, but don't talk to me like that. You know, and how the gay voice, like, but don't talk to me like that. You know, don't do me, don't, but just make sure you don't say anything like that to me again. And, you know, after homeboy came through, you know, he had to get the business. But he got the business for, like, the rest of his life. I ain't gonna lie, because he socked him. Knocked him out. Knocked him out cold. He ain't know nothing. But now we gonna ask you, do they exist? You know the ones they always say, the classiest celebrities in the game. They say, you know, they don't spaz out. You can't never make them do nothing they don't want to do. I'm gonna tell you, one of the people that is doing that is Yandy. Yandy is one of the most well-respected women in the game, especially on Love and Hip Hop right now. Yandy Smith. You know, people trying to talk about her man. You know what I'm saying? And she's holding them down. You know, girls are trying to, most girls will flip out when girls say the stupid stuff. Actually, the girls that are saying all that stuff about her man is looking really foolish right now. Some of these sisters, even though they look like chicken heads, not Yandy, but some of the other sisters, they doing their thing, you know, doing with shoes and all that. Y'all still start carrying yourselves like that. Because that's real talk. Dudes be like, oh, snap. You find out, you look at a girl and you judge her one way, then you find out, oh, snap, she doing her thing. That's real talk, man. I think that's really, really good. You know what I mean? I think that's really, really good. And I think that's something that, you know, we got to keep going with, man. We showing sisters and, you know, now, y'all don't even realize it, but our sisters have been being shown in a negative light since this reality TV thing came out. Black women is being, you know, I don't know if it's psychologically being put here to break us down like that, but let's wake up. Look at all the sisters are being shown in a very negative light. And the sisters are not even looking like real professional when they up there in these businesses. You know what I mean? That's why I give a shout out once again to Lala and a few other. I give a shout out to Shawnee. Now Michael Ealy, yeah, he dated Halle Berry, even though it didn't work with him. He refuses to talk about bad or diss her or anything like that, or you know, whatever. But Michael Ealy, he went out classy like that. A lot of dudes, you know, don't like Halle Berry. When they do that little short bit, you know, like, man, Eric Benet was going hard. F that, man. Eric Benet was barefooted, cursing out. You know, he always walked around barefooted in the sand. He was on that. He was barefooted in the sand cursing out Halle Berry. Eric Benet. Words born. I remember that. With his shirt off, tried to make a couple of songs about it, but it didn't work. She came out with Catwoman and some other thing. And that was it. Tamia. She's happily married to an NBA baller for over 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Tamia's married to Grant Hill. You know what I'm saying? And they've been doing their thing, man. Tamia. She's very classy. She doesn't, you know. Because a lot of you R&B girls, y'all burn a nigga house down. I don't mean to say that in the word. Excuse me saying that in the word. I'm trying to practice saying that in the word. We talking about Denzel, the D's, Washington. You know, Denzel is one of the classiest celebrities that you can get to. We don't even have to get there. That's like number one. That was like an end. Denzel, the way he carries himself. And you know why I like Denzel? The main reason I like Denzel, not even for the acting, because he's a product of the boys' club like me. I'm a product of the boys' club. You know what I mean? I'm a product of the boys' club. Boys Club, 111th Street, East Harlem. You know? When I seen that the Boys Club could make a Denzel Washington, I'm like, I can be like Denzel. You know? Denzel is a good role model you want to be. He's like the best. Now, you say, I want to be an actor. Denzel is the man. All the women like Denzel. Think about it. Your grandmother, your girl, your daughter, your niece. I mean, Denzel been rocking with the women for decades now. He done rocked Denzel Jason. Little girls growing up talking about, oh, Denzel, what? He's older now. Grandmothers like him. Great-grandmothers like him. Denzel could get sex from 17 to 96. There's only a few dudes that can do that. Denzel, Elvis, and Michael Jackson. Elvis Presley with his fat, sloppy ass can still come and bone a couple of these white chicks that he came back from the dead. I'm telling y'all. The young Elvis, oh my God. But the pimp, the half Elvis, half Evel Knievel Elvis at the end, that dude can come back out. And I bugged Dr. I couldn't, when I was little, I didn't know the difference between Elvis and Evel Knievel. Because they both dressed the same. You know? Just that Elvis was fat as hell, and Evel Knievel had a big bush of hair. So, Eve is another classy celebrity. You know what I'm saying? She's certainly been, she's been in a Ben Full of Roses, and you know what I mean? You know, she's been through some stuff, Eve. But she's one of the few female rappers who's lyrically acknowledged her own skills and tearing down her own compilations, you know what I mean? You know, she doesn't really use a ghostwriter. She's only one of the few. So let's keep that going. Kerry Washington. She plays the most scandalous non-canon TV right now and has even been rumored to be on the first lady's list, not allowed around her president. Kerry Washington is on Michelle Obama's list of black women not to let around the president. Ain't that something else? Wow. But she remains on her game, you know. She's very classy, you know. And that's crazy, because that must mean the Obama must have said something about Kerry Washington. Because Michelle was like, if y'all see that bitch at the door, y'all shut her down. I wonder how Kerry Washington probably came up in there and said, I'm going to go see Obama today and say something to him. And Secret Service probably dragged her in the grass. She's like, what's going on? They probably hit her like she had a bomb. Oh, we're sorry, Miss Washington. We thought you had a bomb. We didn't know that was you. Oh, so can I go in there? No, you can't go in, Miss Washington. I wonder how that felt to hear that you are one of the women on the president's list not allowed around him. Kerry Washington. That is crazy. All right, Monica. She's been through some rough things. She's been in the public eye, but she had a lot of behind the closed door, rarely ever addresses messy rumors, you know, or even real life drama in the public eye. You know what I mean? She put her family first all the time. So, Monica, she's definitely going to go out as a classy lady. Ain't none of y'all girls on Basketball Wives is on this list, so don't even think about it. And I didn't make the list, but I can guarantee you, if there's going to be one on there, what happened to Shawnee? We don't even hear nothing about Shawnee no more. She's so rich now. Shawnee is super rich. I'm going to tell you a strange couple, but I'm glad they're together. Amber and Wiz. They look weird as hell in the street together. Both of them got mad tattoos. He got more hair than her, but, you know, they look weird together. But their love is beautiful. How do they, when you be tattooed out like that, right, and everything like that, what happens when you're 69 years old, ladies? It's going to be a lot. When we get older, 40 years from now, 50 years now, it's going to be a lot of old, wrinkled, just blank spots on people's bodies. A lot of people are going to be getting them, you get the tattoo removed as a blank spot. Imagine being 75, you an old lady with mad tattoos. It's going to look crazy for you girls that start growing the beards and mustaches and shit. And, you see the lady, the old lady with the mustache and the beard. You're going to be her one day. See, old dude, there's a whole bunch of old jail dudes. You go to jail, old man come out of jail doing 50 years, he got some tattoos. But you don't. But now you're gonna see old ladies with tattoos real soon by their butt. You know how, cause you know girls get that when you can see a little back in your jeans. Now you're gonna see an old lady with her old back. And you know how you light ladies when you get old, get that red stuff. That, I ain't trying to laugh, but you get that red stuff. That Peter here, that red dry skin that y'all always peeling off. So this is gonna, I'm gonna make something. I'm gonna create. I'm gonna be there for y'all. I'm gonna call something Tattoo Love. Save you from the tattoo thing. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna make sure. I'm detoxing right now, y'all. So Angela Bassett, huh?
What is that?
Angela Bassett. Very classy. Don't never hear about her nothing. You just see her makes moves. She's effortlessly been fly longer for longer than many of us seen. You can't even think of ever that you ever heard anything bad about Angela Bassett? Like, can you even think about it? Janet Jackson, you heard the bad stuff about Janet Jackson. They say Janet Jackson beating the little kids. This is a little white girl, little white Michael Jackson. Like, nah. The little white Michael Jackson. I'm tired of you, Auntie Janet. And Janet fell on her knees. Now I'm starting to rumor. People are like, what? What? Little, what's her name? What's her name? Little Prince. Smack Janet? Nah. And the most classiest people in the game, that never broke their cool. Through the last 8 years, they've been through everything. Their whole family, all four of them, the Obamas. That's what's up. But you know what we're going to do right now? I gave y'all a little history. I gave y'all a little gossip. Once again, love goes out to the little 8-year-old boy family and the other family of the three members that died in the Boston bombs today. So sad that a kid died, and prayers go out to every single person, because they said it's about 35 people who lost 25 to 35 people who lost their limbs, and there's about 30 people in critical condition from that. So that's a real sad thing. There's people that lives just changed from going, you know. There's people that's not going to be able to walk no more because of some dumb persons or some idiots out there. Obama's going to get you, though. Three presidents I like. Obama. I'm going to tell you why I like Reagan. You like Reagan? Reagan, Clinton, and Bush. No, Reagan, not Bush, excuse me. Reagan, Clinton, and Obama. Because all three of them will bomb the shit out of you. You sleep on them, you mess with them, they'll bomb your ass. Reagan was the one. Reagan will bomb you, sell your kids, have you smoking crack. You know, Reagan was doing some damn. The Reagan was going to little, go there and have his enemies on crack. He'll bomb the place. Reagan come back, bring you back to America, and you doing something else. It's called a waterboarding Reagan. But he was a great president to me. And I'm a Democrat, but I did like Reagan. I'm not going to lie. That was like one of the, I think I ain't been living that long to know that many presidents, but I do know he was the only Republican president I liked. I think I could get into Jeb Bush. I really do. Couldn't get into Mitt, bro. I felt like Mitt, when it became president, it was like Ken and Bobby becoming president. You might as well go to Mattel and put Ken and Bobby as the president. Because that's how Mitt and Romney look. They look like Ken and Bobby dolls. They remind me of that. Ken and Bobby dolls were kids with five sons. The new Bobby set. Why they don't make Bobby like that? By now, Bobby should have had some kids. They should have a little baby Bobby pushing a little baby carriage, right? Do you think that would be too extreme, y'all? Hit me up on that. Barbie could have a baby by now. Not black Barbie. Knowing you guys, I'm going to tell you. All right, you want a Barbie with a baby? We'll put black Barbie or Latino Barbie with a baby. No, we want to see traditional, the Barbie that started it all. She's like Minnie Mice. She should have a bunch of little mice. And now Minnie Mice, though, she don't even get no props like Mickey Mouse. Minnie Mouse, whatever. Minnie Mouse, you don't even get no props like Mickey Mouse. That's bad. Women, y'all should step up for Minnie Mouse. She don't get props like Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is the man. And Mickey Mouse is a punk. Mighty Mouse with the mouse that should have got all the props. Mickey Mouse got it. Mighty Mouse is saving America. No, y'all don't even know about Mighty Mouse no more, right? A little adamant. Them heroes don't last no more. Huh? You know, the messed up part is that they don't last, you know. They got Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles ain't even nobody no more. They got Mike the Knight. DJ Lance. I'll tell you one thing about the superheroes now. They save America with love and songs. Batman and them used to have to fight. Fresh Beat Band, they come sing Love Across America. It's a beautiful thing. And the ones that do war and fight, they don't fight with weapons and guns no more. They fight with cards. You ever seen a cartoon fight with cards? A cartoon fights with cards, and the cartoon, they got their own monster now. They fight. They don't even fight no more. Whatever happened to Wile E. Coyote getting something dropped on his head? That was my cartoon, you know? But they say that was violent. Wow, he lived. The thing came up. He started chasing him. He chased the Roadrunner all the way to the end of the film, and even after the film go off, you see him still chasing the Roadrunner. And catch it. He don't catch him till the next day I wake up and come from school and see it again. So what happened to that? Now all the superheroes got tight jeans on. And Keds. And what's the other thing? Skechers. I don't like my superheroes wearing Skechers. I don't like my superhero. My superhero need them big superhero boots and a cape. Now, I can understand if y'all wanted to change from the traditional underoo outfit to Superman's and all them used to wear, because I can dig that, you know. You can put some Pele Pele's on the superhero, you know what I mean? But, you know, like, I'm thinking I'm going to make myself a superhero. I'm going to be a different type of superhero. I'm going to have the full-length mink. Then I'm going to have on some Timberland chuckers with some True Religion jeans and some... A nice hoodie. I'll be running around saving America. Don't call me bro, man. Like, well, bro, put the gun, brother, put the merchandise down. That's going to be my warning. Put the merchandise down, bro. I'm going to save America right now, man. We're going to play some music, man. We're going to get back into some joint. A lot of y'all requested this joint. Shout out to my man Chase McDuff once again. He threw this joint at me. A lot of y'all did this joint, like this joint. I'm going to let my man Hollywood and them, you know what I mean? I get them a segment one day. Hollywood and Dr. Dust. Everybody felt it. Everybody was like, yo, that was a joint. So once again... on an instant replay for y'all, being that we're bringing back a lot of history and a lot of stuff that we're doing today. We're having a lot of fun over here at Beastie Radio. I'm going to play DJ Hollywood and Dr. Dust again. I'm going to give the boys a 45-minute segment, man. Let them rock the house, man. How we do it here on Beastie Radio. Let's do it.
Right now. We go back. Before Chucky Black. When everybody was smoking. Chiba. Chiba.
Hey, bro. What's happening, bro? got that good Chiba Chiba.
Applejack hat, your matador, sit back.
Wait.
This is when all the niggas you knew was hanging out on the avenue.
Check it out.
When you're on the avenue, you know there ain't no half stepping, so we continue to march on.
Way back.
Let's go back.
Way back.
back.
Come on.
pick up, you better get about your seat. Right now, time to rock to the broken beat. Cause you don't care if I'm the one. All you wanna do is have some fun. And the time is now, the place is here. So come on and get your ass again. Once again, pretty mama, if you listen close, you'll sound up the music that's bragging and boast. It's the sound of music, it's in your mind. It's Hollywood and Dr. Dust right on time. So listen up close, you got to agree. It's the old school, the way we used to party. We used to shake, break, rattle and roll. And who asked it up? It's at the control. Hollywood, in the house. And this is how we rock shit out like this. Come on! Now, right now, what I want you to do, girlfriend, is keep me going, huh?
Oh, yeah. Right now we're talking old. I mean serious old school flavor, baby. You never heard it like this before. Unless you was there.
Was there. Was there. Was there.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
What you
say?
What you say?
What you say? What you say? What you say?
Funky,
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 funky.
Nasty. Hey, listen to the man.
Yeah. Godfather.
Hey there.
Hello. Drum tap.
Funky.
Big up to my nigga Star Child.
Star Child.
Star Child. Star Child.
Funky.
Boosie.
Boosie. Boosie.
Boosie. In the park, you know what I'm saying? Central Park, Echo Park,
Echo Park,
Echo Park,
Echo Park,
Echo Park,
Echo Park,
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 Park, Park,
Park,
Park, Park,
Park,
Park,
Park,
Park, take them way back.
Come on, come on, come on.
Come on,
on top of flavor, baby.
Come on!
Come on!
Come on.
Clap your hands, stomp your feet, clap your hands, stomp your feet. Come on, just clap your hands, stomp your feet, clap your hands, stomp your feet, huh? About a while ago, when I want you to know just who you've been listening to, then listen to me now while I tell you how, who I am and what I did. 5 mile and a half, bow legged as you ever wanted to see. Just look over by the beezy, baby doll, cause I'm talking about little old me. It's Holly Girl, and I'm so glad that you came on down so we can spend some time together and maybe even mess around. Said you look so good, you look so fine, you make me shake and show up. But in the end, when it all goes down, you know the Hollywood girls will lift up. See, I'm mean, bad, powerful, the one and only original, the man with mouth that rocks it out. And once again, baby doll, wanna rock the house. Put your pep in your step, slide and you glide. It's Hollywood, baby, keep you satisfied. So come on, pretty mama, and rock with me as I give you the mellow Big shout out to my nigga Eddie Chiba. Oh, yeah. Let's work it. Hollywood, drop your touch. We're going to have a real good time.
Got a word to your wife. Just to tranquilize your mind, your body and soul. A brand new rhythm now, and I'm gonna let it take control. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. You can do it now. There's nothing to it now. Come on, let me see you work it out to the music. Come on, let's do it.
Douglas, St. Nicholas, it's all good. Lincoln Houses,
Come on!
Come on!
Come on!
Doing it, doing it,
the ball.
It's old school flavor, it's in full effect. Hey, doctor, turn it up!
Turn it up!
Rock. My nigga Timmy Hall.
Starter.
Nigga Rock. Hey Rock, I know you remember this.
Seventh Avenue.
That's right, it's time to bust it loose, cause we got juice. Famous. Big shout out to my tall nigga.
Reggie,
Right now we take you way back.
Come on,
come on,
come on.
In the jungle.
Do you remember this?
We call this rock. And don't stop. Uh-oh, my doctor's getting serious. Now, if you can't remember this, that means you wasn't there.
Come on, come on.
Back in the days when we never let a whole record play, because we had the feeling for the beat.
Right now,
what we gonna do?
What we gonna do?
Is take you back,
take you back,
way back,
way back,
way back,
way back,
back in the time,
back in the time,
the darkest,
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 Africa,
Africa,
Africa.
Remember.
Once again, it's a hot, hot show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, Beef Stew Radio. Make sure you be there. April 29th is going down. We in the house big, the East Side Story mixtape release party. You know what I mean? We're going to have performances by my crew, the Hellgate Entertainment, which features Mo Money's going to be on the stage, K-Red going to be on the stage, my man L Gunner, Tony Stan's going to be on the stage, also Red Cafe, shout out to my homie Compton Buck, also Bone Crusher. It's going to be crazy in the building, Bad Boy. It's only Ciroc being sold that night, Webster Hall, April 29th. It's a Monday night. Make sure you be there. Doors open at 9 p.m. It's going to win down. Vicious is on the turntables. You know what I'm saying? Mike Vicious is on the turntables. And Music Maestro is in the building. It's going to be crazy. Coast to coast, Bad Boy, Beef Stew Radio, Hellgate Entertainment, the new label that is basically me, Mo Money, my man, Buck Smooth, Tony Stans, the whole family, Hellgate Entertainment. We will be coming to the public that day. It's big, y'all. All right? So I leave y'all on that note, man. But one dude said it best. He said it best. Big shout out to Jackie Robinson. Yesterday was a famous day for Mr. Robinson, 66 years ago. Today's going to be famous years for the boy Big Stu, K. Nicole, everybody here on Beef Stew Radio. And one thing we want y'all to know, y'all.
Havana to Atlanta.
Right.
Why every shirts and bandanas? Hey, tiny thing that got me, I switched the planner. Bulletproof this radio scanner. Ballin' to they banners. You getting too much bread, they try to jam you. Boy from the hood, but got White House clamors. Sorry, y'all, I don't agree with y'all parents. Politician never did shit for me.
Nope.
Except lie to me, distort history.
Woo.
Wanna give me jail time in the fine. Fine. Let me commit a real crime. I might buy a kilo for cheap teeth. Out of spite, I just might flood these streets. Hear the freedom in my speech. Got an onion from Universal, we didn't weep. Would've bought the Nets of Brooklyn for free. Except I made millions off of you fucking dweeb. I still own the building, I'm still keeping my seats. Y'all buy that bullshit, y'all better keep y'all receipts. Obama said, chill, you gon' get me impeached. You don't need this shit anyway, chill with me on the beach.
Y'all gonna learn today. Y'all gonna learn today. Y'all gonna learn today. Y'all gonna learn today. Y'all gonna learn today.
We almost want to start a revolution. You know, whenever I'm threatened, I start shooting. Catch your body, head to Houston. I'm in Cuba, I love Cubans. This communist talk is so confusing. When it's from China, the very mic that I'm using. Idiot win, the Bob Dylan, the rap music. You're an idiot, baby. You should become a student. Or you gon' learn today.
Y'all gon' learn today.
Where the fuck have you been?
Woo!
The world's under new management. The new role model. Fuck this Zoolander shit.
Y'all gon' learn today.